Hello, this is Gil on According to You, where you, the listeners, get to pick the topic of conversation. And today's topic is the popo. Do we need them? Of course we fucking need them. Dumbasses. Defund the police. What about if we defund your paycheck? It's a good idea. Listen, this is not about bashing the police. This is about trying to get everybody together and working something out. Call it a peace treaty if you wish. Latest news. 3-month-old baby gets shot. Are you fucking kidding me? You got 50 squad cars involved in the chase. They do a pit move on the car. The car goes into a grassy area. They shoot the tires off. Or they blow the tires off. He's not going anywhere. He's stuck. They end up, now they also said that he used the baby as a human shield. So as a police officer, you're looking at this. Why in the hell would you get into a shootout? Well, I'll tell you why. First of all, they put him in the grass. They don't even really surround him. What they do is they get really close up on him. So when he pulls out the gun, which is shown on the video. Yeah, some idiot went ahead and shot, knowing that the baby, if this is the case, knowing that the baby is being used as a human shield. So how do you avoid that? Well, first of all, I'm not a police officer. But common sense would say, I got 50 squad cars. I just did the pit move on you. You got no tires. You're stuck. You can't go anywhere. So what do? Surround them. The perimeter. Or around them at a safe distance. And does anybody have a, or maybe they don't even use it anymore. Do they use the horn where they, we got you surrounded. Come out with your hands up. I know that sounds silly, but it's true. Why can't you do that? The baby's in the car. Talk to the man. Is there not a negotiator there? No, probably not. So you stall. You talk to the man until the negotiator gets there. He has a kidnapped child in the car. Does that mean nothing anymore? Usually when you kidnap somebody and you're on the run and you get caught, you try to get the kidnapped person out of the situation first. I don't know, that's my thoughts. But let's go over, and I'm not doing the whole, I'm going to go over the statistics on police officers shooting people to death. But I'm not doing the black, white, Spanish. I'm just going to give you the numbers. So far in 2021, we have 292, as of now, 292 deaths by police officers. Yeah, so I think this all needs to stop. And stop it will. I'm hoping that by the end of this, we could come to some type of understanding where we could go back to at least a good ground where we're all getting along, respecting each other. I think that's the magic word, respect. If we can respect the police officers and the police officers can respect us as people and we can work with each other, I think we have some hope. I'll give you an example real quick. I had been invited to a Little League game recently, and I missed two games, I believe. They had lost the game the day before I went. And they were winning 5-1, but then they end up losing 8-5. So it was a bad loss. So I thought, you know, I'm going to go ahead and go. But before I went, what I did was I collected, I believe it was 14 or 15 cards that I had. They were baseball cards. And I went over to the coach, spoke to him, and I said, yeah, do you mind if I talk to them? So I did. And I gave him a whole spiel, this and that. We went back and forth. And I said, but before you guys go, I am going to give you, and now the ages are from 8 to 11. I'm going to give you a magical gift to each one of you. So I gave him each a baseball card. They ran off, started playing the game. And something incredible actually happened. Every single one of those kids got on base. They were so happy and thankful, and all because they believed. So my point to the story is, all you have to do is believe. And I'm pretty sure it'll come true. But you got to feel it within yourself. I had the kids running to me, thanking me. I had this one little girl, she came running to me. She goes, I never hit the ball. So she was happy with the card. But my point to that is, if kids at that age can actually believe in themselves, why can't we do it? Like, it's just baffling. So I think that I'm going to go back into time. We're going to go to the 60s, middle 60s, early 70s, where a gentleman stood alone and made the change that needed to be done within the police organization. But before I do that, when a police officer joins the force, they have an oath. And the oath goes like, on my honor, I will never betray my integrity, my character, or the public trust. I will always have the courage to hold myself and others accountable for our actions. I will always maintain the highest ethical standards and uphold the values of my community and the agency I serve. That means something to them. At least it should. So you got to wonder, are they just saying the words? Do they believe in what they're saying? But we'll get back to that later. We're going to go back into time where the police organization was really corrupt. And some of you may remember in the 60s and 70s. His name was Frank Serpico. He's like 85 years old now. They made movies and documentaries about him. But he stood alone. And what he did was he would not accept payoffs from drug dealers, from whoever, and definitely not from his fellow police officers, which became a very big deal because I think he went through it for like 5 years. And he fought by himself until one day. And you know what? They kept fucking with him. Like, all he wanted was, leave me alone. I'm not taking the money. I just want to do my job. But they kept pushing and pushing and pushing. And so he said, you know what? I need to do something about it. And he did. He also got shot for it. But you could go back with the story on that. But you really should watch on Hulu. There's a documentary. And also Al Pacino. He plays Frank Serpico. If you haven't seen the movie, watch it. But watch the documentary because that's really interesting. It's actually Frank Serpico that's going over everything that he went through. But going back to the situation that we're in, what we really need to do is start working together. And the only way we're going to be able to do that is if we start working together. Build a rapport with them. And they need to meet us halfway. We need to meet them halfway. You want to protest? That's fine. And not all cops are bad. You have the situation going back to the 60s where you had this one person standing up for what he believed in. You had others that believed also, but because they were in the situation that we're in, they knew that if they opened their mouth, some people call it ratting people out. I think what Frank was doing was actually, he was an exposer. That's what he was. But, I mean, I get it. It's difficult because you're standing alone and you have all these people against you. And how do you make the change? It's like, you know, you look up to the sky, you say, okay, the sky is blue. But you have thousands of people telling you, no, it's not blue, it's green. It's green. And then you start doubting yourself. Maybe it's not blue. But that's all about your integrity. But if we can meet halfway and work something out together and go back to the days where, you know, kids can actually look up to a police officer when they see them and not running, actually running towards them. Listen, I don't have a problem with police officers going back on the beat. Where you used to have a cop walking up and down the neighborhood. So it was like that when I was a kid. And listen, I'm from the Bronx of New York. In my days, it was bad. I saw people get shot, get cut in the throat, people hanging from a fire escape, getting beat up by gang members with bats and chains. So it was, I mean, listen, I've seen it. So I know what it's like. But the difference there was when a cop would pop up, everybody would stop doing what they're doing. They would just kind of like walk away. There was no, they showed some type of respect to them. They weren't going to stop what they were doing. If they were drug dealers, that's it. That's what they do. But they didn't stand up in front of them and start cursing at them. And it was just different. So we need to join together. Maybe do something drastic where, well, I wouldn't even call it drastic, where people, organizations get together and they sit with the police officers and speak to them, and vice versa. But it also starts from the top. So if you got people from the top that are not actually doing anything for the police officers, for them to believe that, you know what, we could change, we could do things as normal people and not make it, oh, it's us against you, us against the people. It's supposed to be we the people. Can't divide each other. And I think, without getting into the whole political, I'm trying to stay away from all that, but you can't help it because it's out there. If you look at it, you watch the news, the things that they pop out with, it makes you wonder, like why do they say the things they say? Why can't we listen to any politician? I don't care whether you're Democrat, Republican, from the right, from the left, up, down, middle, wherever you are. I never hear anybody say, we're going to do this for the kids. We're going to get the family back together again. It's always like negative things that they come out with that makes you depressed. Like, you don't even want to watch the news. Like, you need to watch the news because you need to know what's going on in the world. But then you can't trust the news because whether it's true or not, the whole fake news, but it makes you wonder. Again, like I was saying to you, you look up to the sky, you think it's blue, or it is blue. But if they keep saying to you over and over again something that you really don't believe, well, guess what? You're going to end up believing it because everybody else is saying it. Again, comes down to integrity. Once upon a time, there was, let's keep the kids out of jail, not just locking them up. It was more like, you know, you spoke to them. There used to be a program, I'm not even sure if they still have it. It was called PAL, ran by the police force, where they would actually come out and work with the kids with sports, homework. They actually made time for them to have some type of relationship with the kids. So the kids could understand, you know what? Cops aren't bad. And they're not. It's just that you have those few. And you got to come down to also training. What are they doing as far as training is concerned? When you have somebody, a police officer, come out and pull his gun out and shoot somebody for no reason at all. And when I say no reason at all, it's because of the things that are happening at this point. What makes you think, like, when, and I don't want to talk about actual events, but I'm sure you could figure those things out. So it makes you wonder, how are they being trained? Are they also being physically checked? More importantly, psychologically checked on a normal basis, where you could actually sit with them the way it's supposed to be. You sit with them. Now, it seems to me that the only time they get involved as far as like your psychological presence is when they shoot somebody. Then they bring you in and they sit down, they talk to you, they want to make sure that you're okay. How about if you did that before the incident happens? Where are they mentally? You don't know what's going on at home. You don't know about their private life, which is, and that's not something they should be sharing with us, but they should share it with the right person, a psychologist, because that's private, and that psychologist can help that person out if he or she sees something's going on. That's my thoughts. I don't think it would hurt. And maybe they do that. And if they are doing it, I hate to say it, but they're doing a lousy job. So really, the bottom line is we the people. We have control. We're the ones that put these people that we believe they're going to be looking out for us. But they're too busy trying to fight each other. Who could do better than the other? And I think they're forgetting about us. So I think we need to start reminding them, hey, we are the people. We make the rules. To a certain extent. I mean, we put you there, then you guys vote and blah, blah, blah. But if we don't like something, we do have the right to say something about it. So the bottom line is we need to find a happy medium so we could just go ahead and work things out. We need to. We have to. If not for us, for our kids. I've been living in my town for over 20 years. And those over 20 years, I've only been pulled over maybe 3 times. And 2 of them, well, yeah, I was speeding. But 1 of them, I wasn't doing anything wrong. I came out of the store, I was driving home, got pulled over. Driver's and registration. Now, in my head, I'm saying, well, wait a minute, I didn't do anything. And I asked, I said, well, what's the problem, officer? He says, license and registration. Now, yes, I could have stood there and did the whole confrontational, going back and forth. But I went ahead, gave him my license registration. I knew I didn't do anything wrong. And long story short, he came back, he gave it to me. He says, okay, everything is fine. So, yes, at that point, again, I could have turned and said, well, then why did you pull me over? But I didn't, because there was no reason for it. He didn't ticket me. He didn't do anything that was outrageous. My point there is, if you get pulled over and you know you didn't do anything wrong, why get into an argument? Why go back and forth? Why antagonize the situation where there's not a situation? There is and there isn't. If you want your taping, get your point across. and leave it alone. Give them the license and registration. You said what you had to say. It's on tape. If he tickets you, or if you want to push the envelope, let him leave. You go home. Now you can just go ahead and do what you need to do as far as a complaint form, and then you move forward on that. But to stand there and waste your time, confrontational, it doesn't make sense to me. Maybe because I'm a passive to a certain extent. Maybe that's why, but... So, I'm going to leave you with this thought. Watch the movie, Serpico. Watch the documentary on... And try to reach out to your fellow officers. Speak to the sergeant, the captain, whoever it is that you need to speak to. Have a sit down with them. Find a medium ground where we could all work together. And I'm not saying it's going to change overnight, but it needs to start somewhere. And maybe this is not the answer, but maybe it will guide it to the right location where the answers are there. I know everybody's going to be saying, well, speak to your congressman. Speak to your congresswoman. Well, how's that working for you? It's time for a peace treaty. It's time for a change. It's time for us to realize that we are people. People that need to get together. To get along. We need the cops. And the cops need us. And when I say they need us, they need us as a support team. We need to put ourselves in their shoes and understand what they go through. Because it's not easy. It's not easy for them. It's not easy for us. And with everything that's going on, it just doesn't make it any easier. But if we maybe try to start a... It's time for us to open up some type of dialogue with our fellow officers. It can only help. I mean, how nice would it be if you just walked by an officer and say, good morning, good afternoon, have a good day. It would mean a lot to them. It would start their day off in a positive way, not worrying about what's going to happen. What negative thing is going to happen to me today that I have to live with? It's always going to be crying. That's never going to go away. But it doesn't have to be the way it is right now. You want to protest? Go ahead and protest. But do it in a safe manner. When you have people breaking into stores and destroying people's property, I don't know. I'd be damned if anybody could actually get back to me and say, oh, this is the way it's supposed to be. This is how we do it. This is how we're going to get our point across. Oh, you're a fucking idiot. Seriously. So, hopefully... This will do something for everybody. I'd like to hear from anyone that's interested in sharing their opinion. Just leave me a voice message. I will get back to you. We could maybe start something here where we could spread the word. And it's going to be hard. I know that because the trust factor isn't there. But like I said, we need to start somewhere. And the only way we're going to do that is if we just do it. See an officer? Morning, officer. Be safe. You know, it also starts with talking to our kids. I mean, right now, yes, we're afraid of what could happen, but it needs to stop. Oh, it just kills me when you think about the kids. Tell your kids, cops are good people. They'll help you. Hey, bottom line is, you're in trouble. Who are you calling? You're calling the cops. Yep. And so I leave you with this. This is Gil. Thank you for listening. And remember, keep listening, keep talking. We'll catch up.